When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And they were right. Only God can truly forgive sins. We can try. We can want to forgive. We can actually desire to forgive someone, but apart from the power, apart from the grace of God, apart from the majesty and strength, resilience, vision, and insight that comes to us by the grace of God from the cross of Jesus Christ, we cannot really forgive. The scribes were right. Their question was right on the mark. It is so sad that they never made the connection from the truth of their question to the truth of the implication as to who Jesus was standing before them there that day. If only God can forgive sins, and Jesus forgives sins, then what does that make Jesus? It's a principle in geometry, an axiom. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, right? Well, if only God can forgive sins, and if Jesus can forgive sins, then Jesus is God. If only they'd made that connection between what Jesus was doing and the essence of who he was. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone, and speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living, for we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Jesus' answer to their question also speaks to us. Which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven, or to say stand up and take your mat and walk? Jesus' question back to the scribes should have blown them away, and indeed it did. For Mark tells us that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." It was a remarkable event to see him tell the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven," and then rise and walk. And he arose and he walked. Jesus had proven his authority to forgive sins when that paralytic man got up and walked. But why did Jesus recognize? How did Jesus know? Why did he see that the paralytic needed the forgiveness of his sins more than he just needed healing? This man was sick. This man was paralyzed. This man could not walk. The man was so ill that he needed his friends to take him on a mat and to carry him up onto the roof of the house and to pull the roof apart and to lower him down to get him to Jesus, because he himself could not get up and walk through the crowd that was gathered around Jesus to be healed. He could not get through this crowd to be healed, so his friends had to carry him to Jesus. And when they couldn't get through, they had to take him up onto the roof, pull it apart, and lower him down through to the inside. This man was so ill. This man was paralyzed and so sick that he could not himself get to Jesus. What was it about this man that caused Jesus to discern that forgiveness would be the key to his healing, that sin was what was paralyzing him. I want to offer two observations here. Firstly, our sins paralyze us. And secondly, healing repairs not just the broken body, but a broken relationship with God. Let's go and focus on that first observation. Sins paralyze us, and they do. If we're going to be honest with ourselves and honest with our Christian walk and honest with the reality of sin and its power and the power of evil in this world, we must recognize that sin paralyzes us just as surely as a stroke, just as surely as any illness. Sin can indeed paralyze us completely so that we can do nothing for ourselves. Sin can so paralyze us that we cannot even want to come to Jesus. We talk about the sin-sick soul, a soul that is so sick in sin that it is paralyzed and incapable of recognizing its own illness. Sin can be paralyzing, destructive to the will, destructive to the ability for us to say yes to God. And it is only by the grace of God in others, only by the grace of God in family, only by the grace of God in friends, only by the grace of God in the family of faith, only by the grace of God that we can come and seek forgiveness and seek healing for our paralyzed condition. It is only through the grace of God that we can seek the healing that Jesus wants to give us. By our own nature, paralyzed in our sins, we don't want to seek forgiveness. I know this from personal experience. A number of years ago, let's see, 7 years ago, I had a friendship with a fellow minister, and we would share our concerns with each other, our problems and the situations that plague us day and night, and the problems that we had in our own personal lives. And he and I were both single, and he and I were both dating at the time. And I went to him and I told him about a situation in my relationship with the beautiful lady that at that time I was dating. And I told him about my concern about the possibility for our getting married in the future and the difficulty that she and I were having. And no sooner had that conversation been completed and we had parted ways at the end of that lunchtime and gone off on our separate duties as ministers, then just a week later, I received word that what I had told my friend was now spreading around the conference clergy. The confidence that I had shared, the difficulty I was having in determining whether or not this lady was for me, was being spread around the conference. Worse yet, it got back to her. And you can guess what happened as a result. He was gone. The relationship was kaput. No chance at all. The problem I had been considering and worried about, was real and true, and it wiped it out. Instead of giving me the opportunity to work it out with her, it got out to all of my friends and back to her, and it destroyed the possibility. And it destroyed the friendship I had with this man, with this fellow minister, with this individual who I trusted with the care of my soul, who I would have trusted to pick up my mat and to carry me to Jesus. It destroyed my friendship with him. It destroyed my ability to relate with him. It destroyed my ability to trust him. And I took my anger and I took my upset and I pulled it in close to me. And I stopped talking to this person. And I stopped communicating with him and seeing him on a regular basis. I would see him at an annual conference event, and he would go one way, smartly, and I'd go the other. We happen to live in the same general area, and sometimes we'd see each other at Walmart, and if he saw me coming down one aisle, he'd turn around and go the other way. Smart. Because I was angry. No, I wasn't just angry. I was mad. In Texas, you got angry, and then you got mad. And I was mad. I wanted a pound of flesh, preferably from his hide. And had I gotten close, I would have chewed it out of his backside. I was mad. I was angry. And I was not going to forgive him. And this went on for 3 long, horrible, torturous years. Me refusing to forgive. Me refusing to set it aside and go forward. Me refusing to go to him and to say, yes, you made a mistake, but we can go forward. He even tried to come to me to ask for forgiveness one day at annual conference. And thank God we were in public. I looked at him and I said, sorry, you broke a confidence. I can't trust you and I'll never forgive you. And I turned around and I walked away. Another year passed. And I was looking one afternoon at the lectionary reading for the coming Sunday, and it was about forgiveness. The Old Testament lesson was about forgiveness. The epistle lesson was about forgiveness. The gospel lesson was about forgiveness. What am I supposed to preach on? Forgiveness, apparently, obviously. But I didn't want to. Scratched my head. I looked at the psalm to see if that would get me out of it. And it was forgiveness. And then I got curious and I started looking back at the sermons I had preached over the preceding 12 to 24 months. Sunday after Sunday, I noticed a pattern in my preaching. I would avoid those passages of Scripture that had to deal with forgiveness. Usually the lectionary was nice to me. It gave me one passage I could preach on, the get around, sidestep, forgiveness. Or, if I did happen to mention it, it was really removed from me. I didn't want to forgive. Indeed, as I examined my sermons for those preceding 12, 24 months, I realized my ministry was being paralyzed by my sin of holding fast and close to the hurt and the pain and the anguish that my former friend had caused me. Indeed, I was relishing and enjoying being angry at him. And the anger and the refusal to forgive was paralyzing my ministry. Paralyzing the call that God had for me. In response to the sin of another, I was now sinning myself. And I was paralyzing myself in my sins. Now God is incredibly gracious and forgiving. And God is incredible in the way in which there is no such thing as a coincidence. At almost the exact same time that I came to this realization. Oh, by the way, that sermon, I really cheated. I didn't preach on the lectionary passages at all. I chose something completely different to avoid preaching on sin that week. The following week, 2 friends came to see me. So let's go to lunch. Okay. So we went to lunch. Got to the restaurant. I don't remember what it was. And as we walked in the waiting area, were 2 more friends of mine and the fella who had broken the confidence. I said, well, okay, if, as long as he's on the other side of the table from me, I'll be all right. So will he. So we sat there and we ate, and he and I said nothing, and it was like a horrible, cold chill swept through the room as we refused to talk to each other. And as the meal came to a close, and as our discussion came to a close, we decided that we were going to pray together. And as we prayed together, one of my friends, I don't remember who, asked that broken relationships might be healed, that paralyzed faith might be restored to living, active faith. And in that moment of his prayer, I opened my eyes enough to see my old friend, the one who had betrayed me, reaching down the table towards me. And in that moment, I reached out and touched his hand. And in that instant, the paralysis that had been in my life for years drained out of me. And the tears began to flow, and I looked across, and he was sobbing too. And then we stayed there several more hours, just he and I talking, allowing God and his grace and his forgiveness to mend a broken relationship, to mend a sinful life, to mend the pain and the hurt that we had caused each other through our sins. Jesus can heal a paralyzed faith. Jesus can heal a paralyzed life. Jesus can transform and forgive and heal anything, if only we let him. If only we allow his grace to move and transform and heal us. Forgiveness and healing repairs not just broken bodies, friends. It heals and repairs broken lives, broken relationships, and the most important broken relationship of all, the relationship that we have with God the Father on high. For when we forgive, fail, and refuse to forgive, when we fail and refuse to forgive others, we make it very hard for us to receive the forgiveness that Jesus has for us. We pray it every week in church, but do we hear what we're praying when we pray the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed, who have sinned against us. If we don't forgive, how can we expect forgiveness? If we refuse to forgive, how can we receive forgiveness? If we demand restitution for the debts owed us, how can we possibly expect to have our debt wiped clean? Sins can divide us, not just from each other, but from God himself. Indeed, it does separate us from God and from the peace that God wants to give us. Worked in a hospital. I think I've told this story here already, but it doesn't matter. Worked in a hospital as a chaplain. And one day, this was at Methodist Central Hospital. And one day I got word that there was an emergency coming in, care flight, a patient was dying. I went out, went down to the emergency room, and got in there just as she was laying on the table being worked on by the doctors, trying to save her life. It wasn't going very well. She looked up and saw me and saw the clerical collar I was wearing, and her arm reached out to me suddenly. So I entered the room, went up to her, and she grabbed my hand and pulled me down so that my head, my ear was next to her lips. And in a gasping breath of desperation and fear, she gasped out, whispered out, croaked out a set of sins that had been plaguing her heart. A set of sins that were holding her down and strangling her life and paralyzing her spirit. In this moment, when she was preparing to meet her Maker, she was paralyzed with fear that her sins were not forgiven. She needed to hear, "I knew." What she already knew deep down inside, but which was still plaguing her in fear, that her sins were forgiven. And so I reached out and made the sign of the cross in front of her face and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven." And in that moment, a look of peace crossed her face, a peace that comes only from Jesus, as she recognized and accepted the truth that was true 2,000 years ago, when her sins went on the cross, and she accepted the forgiveness and forgave others too. And then in the next moment, the look of peace continued as she went flatline and went to see her Maker in glory. My friends, our sins can generate in us a paralysis of fear and make it hard for us to accept the gift of forgiveness that Jesus wants to give. Turn to your brothers and sisters when you feel paralyzed. Turn to your brothers and sisters when you feel sick in your sins. Turn to your brothers and sisters, those whom Jesus has given us, to take us on our mat and carry us to Jesus. Turn to their faith and allow your brothers and sisters to help you come to Jesus and accept His forgiveness. When you feel paralyzed in your sin-sick soul, turn to your sisters and brothers in the faith, and they will help you carry you to Jesus. My brothers and sisters, what is paralyzing your sin-sick soul today? What is paralyzing you and making it hard for you to forgive and making it hard for you to receive forgiveness? What is paralyzing you today? Against whom do you hold grudges? Whom do you fear? Whom do you refuse to forgive? My friends, allow Jesus to take away the paralysis. Turn to your sisters and brothers. Accept the faith and love they have. Offer forgiveness. Then stand, take your mat, and go home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people say, Amen.